B-Pod Studios.
Brad Stevens is the Celtics president of basketball operations. He's kind enough to join us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Brad, hello, sir.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Just before we started talking to you, we were talking about how LeBron James said that he wants to play with his son. His son is a class of 23. That he wants to play with his son, that's the plan. Is there a plan in your future? I know you have a son who's good that's in high school, that you will only be the president of a team that your son plays on?
Oh, man. I think I'll just plead the fifth and say I am just enjoying watching him be a high school player. Let's just leave it at that.
Let's put some pressure on
him. I think we're gonna have to. Yeah, exactly.
Let's
avoid that one.
Okay, can I just?
I'm trying to think as a parent and be positive and forward looking and all that stuff. But let's just enjoy today.
I'm being facetious, obviously. But okay, you're not going to say anything to this, but I'm just going to tell you. I don't know if you know, but I'm looking at all these rankings of the high school recruits, and I'm not seeing LeBron James's kid anywhere. So I guess is a second round.
One thing I will say, and I'm not going to speak to any specific player because I can't. But
sure,
I always, you know. We had some pretty good runs, and we never had guys that were ever ranked in the top 100 players.
Understood. So
sometimes we have to rank the rankers.
Understood.
But who knows who can play.
And believe me, I know, and I know kids grow, and I know kids get bigger, and I know it's really unfair because it's your junior year. You're dealing with these kids, and, I mean, kids can literally grow six inches. I know, it's completely wrong.
You know what I always found really like interesting? So think about like all of the kids that play basketball in the United States, okay? And then you're going to tell me one is number 97.
Right.
And one is number 103.
Exactly.
Okay, so
right.
And so one is pissed off and comes into college with a chip on his shoulder because he wasn't a top 100 player in the country. And one is, you know, reading his headlines and thinks he's pretty good. And who do you think's going to win that one? Like, there's no difference between those guys. And
sure.
So I just think, like, I mean, you get past the top four or five where it's like they just jump off the page and it's blatantly obvious how talented they are and there's just a different physical element. Like, I saw LeBron play in high school and it was like, okay.
Yeah, we all did. Yeah.
This one's pretty obvious, right? Like, Eric Gordon was in Indy. Greg Oden was in Indy. You know, Conley was in Indy when I was recruiting. Those guys were all like, okay, I get it.
I went to high school with Weber. If you haven't heard, I have never sat down here before.
You went to DCD?
Yeah, I got kicked out, but he's 2 years
really?
Older than me. Yeah, but I went to Detroit.
Our guys shot around there. On whatever day they were there, Friday.
That's a
popular place to go shoot around.
I will tell you this story. I've told it a million times on the air, but since you're on, you might find this interesting.
The story of you getting kicked out?
it's not as interesting as you may think. So at Detroit Country Day, you had to play two sports. So I was on the eighth grade football team when I was in seventh grade. Why? Physical specimen. So anyway, so they made Weber play another game, a sport. So we scrimmaged the JV team. Weber was on the JV team, and they said to me and the rest of the team, if you effing touch him, you're dead. So they mysteriously the next year devised a sport called training, which so Weber never put the pads on again. But his freshman year in college, he was a JV football player. That is true.
He was really good as a high schooler, wasn't he? Oh, my gosh.
Well,
even as a young college, his 2 years in college, amazing.
Well, we had Jalen Rose. We had Vashawn Leonard.
Yeah.
And they were all on the same AAU team. And guess who played that AAU team? Me.
You.
Yeah. And guess when I talk about not getting the ball over half court. That's why. Okay, so like my kid's in eighth grade, right? And like people go like, "Wow, this kid's really good," you know. And then I think about when we played Super Friends, we couldn't get the ball over half court. There was nothing we could do. Like we were shooting half court shots. I mean, the difference between like, hey, this is like wow, this kid's really good. Like he's locally really good. Yeah. And like you were saying,
99 Brad, against number one.
You don't think Vashawn Leonard and go, wow, he's like, but he played in Minnesota and he played pro for a while. I mean,
you know what the best?
Yeah, go ahead.
The best news about that game was it was probably running clock.
Yeah, oh, well,
4 minutes into the game, so everybody got home quicker.
We had a kid named Seth Hoffman on our team, and he had a after the first game, he was in the top five in 3-point shooting because he put up probably about 40 3-pointers and made like 3 of them. And so for some reason, he got on some kind of list. But those are stories I've told a million times on the air. I thought I'd just share them with you. So there you go.
But that does kind of
remind me. I enjoyed those.
Thank you.
That's fun.
But that is kind of funny when you just look at somebody who's next level. And it reminds me because this is actually, for some reason, in the press, this has come up a few times lately. Did you ever... I don't know if you heard of this, but years ago, you know, we used to have Scal on, Brian Scalabrine on regularly on the show. And every time we would have him on, we'd have these, you know, these jackasses would call in and go, why do you got him on? He stinks. You know, I could beat him in basketball. And so one time when we had Scal on, we said, hey, I just want to read you some of the stuff that we're getting when you get on sometimes. Would you want us to reach out to one of these guys and just see if they would try one-on-one, see if they could even get a shot off? And Scal was like, absolutely, let's do it. Find the best guys you can get who think they can beat me, and let's play them one-on-one. And he absolutely murdered these guys.
A big man from Syracuse who played 4 years at Syracuse.
Fordham. There was a kid from Fordham.
But the kid from Syracuse was like impressive. Yeah. He was like, what, 6'10"?
These guys are so good. It's just amazing. I watch our guys that don't play and our 10 days go through, you know, 3-on-3 work. And it's just, they don't miss a shot. They make every pass right. They've got all the moves. Everybody's just so advanced and so good. I brought a couple of my friends and their kids to the practice facility a couple years ago, and Scal brought his kids and his daughter played and Brady played and then a couple of other kids that, you know, were somewhere between 7th and 9th grade at the time. And we played against the dads, and I mean, Scal put them in the basket. He did not care. He did not care if it was Ileana guarding him, his daughter, or Brady, and if somebody, you know, if somebody got in the way of his, like, sweep through or his elbow, that was their fault.
Well, we played him 3-on-1.
Oh, it was a disaster.
And when he's coming at you, that's frightening.
Rogue. Yeah.
I mean, he's
a big guy.
He's 6'9", 240.
And it's the speed. I think out of all the things that I didn't realize, it's the speed of an NBA player.
I don't know how fast he was, but he. But
I think Scal feels good enough about himself right now that we can back off.
Yeah, yeah. Let's not go crazy with how fast he is. But it's funny though, because we'll be talking about someone like in the NBA, and like for instance, like and you won't comment, but like I watched Grant Williams at Tennessee, and Grant Williams is great at Tennessee. He's first round pick, and I'll go like Grant isn't a great athlete. And then these guys and everyone will go crazy on me. Mm-hmm. But of course he's a great athlete. But like compared to, you know, LeBron James, he's not, he's you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying the guy's not good. I'm just, at basketball. I'm saying
he's a really good athlete, but compared to, you know, the 450 best basketball players in the world, then you're now kind of held to a different standard in every game. I think it's one of the challenges with young players coming out of college. And I think Grant went through this a little bit too. Like you come out, you're the 2-time SEC player of the year. You've done most of your work on the interior because you've, you know, you're stronger and you've got good footwork and you've got a high motor and you've got a lot of good things, but not every part of that's going to translate. When you're a four at Tennessee and you look like that, you can get to the rim and you can do some things. When you're now trying to do that against Kevin Durant or LeBron James or whoever, it's right. That ain't working.
Right.
And so I think there's a little bit of like self, you know, evaluation of, okay, what can I do to be able to carve out a niche, to carve out a role where I can be, you know, good every single night. And, you know, you've seen it recently, like he can take advantage of some of the smaller guys and people are switching so much that he does get a little bit of that. But, you know, where he has made his next step is he's become really self-aware on, this is what I have to do every night to play and play winning basketball. And that is, he's got to make open shots and he's got to be able to guard as many positions as he can. And that's it. It's not so much more simple, but when he's coming from Tennessee or any of these guys that, you know, are going to be talked about how great they are on draft night and everything else, well, there's, you know, they can do everything, but they can't do everything here and win.
Yeah.
Right.
And so they have to figure out what they can do. Otherwise, you know, you're a jack of all trades and master of none. And, you know, that may be okay for the top 10 players in the league, but everybody else has to figure out what they can do to add value to winning and to be a good player. And usually that means, you know, narrowing your list, narrowing your focus. But when Scal gets out there with seventh graders, he can do it all. You know,
like, right, sure.
He can do whatever he wants, and he looks fast.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
that stuff.
Yeah, seventh graders or three guys on the radio.
That's the other thing.
Which you don't want to find that on YouTube. It is there, unfortunately, and it will. The internet never forgives. But with Grant Williams, though, how are you shocked? Because I know as a fan, I was shocked because I didn't expect him to become about as guaranteed a three-point bucket on this team as you can get. Like, does that part of his game, did that part surprise you? All of a sudden, he has become one of the best three-point shooters on this team.
I don't think it's surprising. I mean, obviously, he started off his career really slow. But even, like, in practice, it was like he's going to make shots. You know, Grant is a little bit, you know, anybody that plays with wings – like we have, where Jalen and Jason get so much attention, where people overhelp. You know, he's got a little bit more time to shoot, and he has just really dialed in, and he shoots the good ones. What I've been, you know, intrigued by with him is that he's shooting it when he's open, and when he's not, you know, he usually is faking, driving, getting into the paint, and he's finished a few, but also making plays for others. I mean, that's really the game for a role player is, can you catch it outside the three and make it? And if the guy runs you off, can you make the next right play? Mm-hmm. And if you can be that simple, then, and you have his physical gifts on the other end with his strength and his lateral mobility and his mind, which he's a really smart guy, then, you know, you can carve out a heck of a niche in this league.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I didn't quite expect, like, he's doing the stuff that I thought Aaron Nesmith was going to do. Like, I mean, Grant Williams has become that guy. When you throw it to him in three, it's about as much of a, yep, he's going to make it as anybody on this team. But as well as the team has been playing, you had unfortunate bad news of Jaylen Brown going down. First of all, how's he doing? Like, what's his condition right now from what you know?
Yeah, I think he's doing better than I would originally thought when I saw him go down. I think that, you know, he's going to be, you know, constantly reevaluated over the next couple of days, but he felt better. He felt better after the game than I thought he would, you know, as predicted, a little bit more sore the next day, but, you know, it doesn't look like a long-term thing, which is good.
Okay. So when something like that happens with Jaylen Brown, we start hearing it and, you know, being on the other side of the phones and people who are tweeting about the team, you see the term injury prone getting thrown around regarding Jaylen Brown. What do you say to people who categorize Jaylen Brown as being injury prone?
Well, each injury you have to look at differently, right? Like, I think that, you know, if it's something that's happened over and over and over, then, you know, whether it's muscular or whatever the case may be, then those are things that people have to address when they get in the weight room and do their preventative work, especially if they've had, you know, whether it's, you know, calf or Achilles or patella tendonitis or hamstring, all of the things that are typical, you know, basketball injuries that we see all over the place. But he's done a good job of that. The ankle is, you know, we saw the play. You turn your ankle sometimes. And, you know, he's done that before. I mean, the first thing he said to me the other night was, "This isn't as bad as others I've had." And anybody that's played has done that. And that's just unfortunate. So I don't like the injury prone thing. You know, obviously when you're a guy that's going to play as hard and as hard driving and as physical, yeah, those people are going to be a little bit more susceptible, but that doesn't make them injury prone. They certainly shouldn't stop doing what they're doing. That was just a unfortunate, unlucky play.
Well, unfortunately, you're not going to – I don't think you're going to have him tonight, right? He's out against the Memphis.
Tonight.
Okay,
yeah.
So he's out tonight.
Next game isn't until Sunday.
But what you do have is you have a game that – I mean, if you're just a fan of basketball, you got to watch, because right now you've got the Celtics who are playing great defense and John Morant, who right now might be must-see television. And I don't know how you as a GM or as a president of basketball operations, much less a coach – can take a look at John Morant and go, how the hell do we stop a guy with this amount of offensive gifts? Just taking a look at the tools you have, like, what do you think the team's going to throw at him tonight?
Well, first of all, he's really good, and, you know, he consistently gets better, and his demeanor and competitiveness and his personality and has just been, you can tell it's contagious and it has a great impact on his team and his community, and like he's obviously one of the great young players in the league, but they're really, really, really skilled around him. I mean, all the way around the team, and you look at, you know, all the different lineups they can play. When Ja was out this year, they won like, you know, six or seven straight. They just went on a tear, and you know, they just have a lot of really good players. They've obviously done a great job of building a system and a structure that's going to play well and travel regardless who's available, which I think is a great sign of a real, real team, right? Because you've got to be able to play when your best players aren't available and still know your role, know what you're going to do, and be able to get the job done. And you can see that with this Memphis group. So I give their front office, their players, and certainly Taylor Jenkins and his staff a ton of credit for that. I just think that is what stands out to me. You know, it's not like an unbelievable shooting team by the numbers, but they're tremendous in transition. They're tremendous on the glass, and they just know how to play. They know how to win. They got a bunch of smart guys that make each other better. I enjoy watching them. I agree with you as a fan. Like, I'm looking forward to watching tonight's game from the seat I'm in, because I think it'll be it's two teams that are playing well. But they've done it all year. We've only done it for, you know, a month and a half or so.
All right. Well, Brad Stevens, best of luck in these slates of games coming up. We always appreciate you calling in.
All right, guys. Be well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
All right, see you, man.
Now.
That's hard on the ears.
More Tusher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
Yo, something's wrong here. No, not again. Get the daisies for the
potholes in my lawn.
Oh, really?
Little potholes in my lawn.
Wow. 33 years ago today, he said.
Really?
Jeez. I might know the words to every single song.
March 3rd, 1989.
What he's saying.
What to do when sucker lunatics start digging and chewing. They don't know that the soul don't go for that. Potholes in my lawn.
And it goes for my rhyme sheets. They concentrate so hard on C. I don't ask for a 5 to 0. But my dwelling is swelling. It lifts my butt when I happen to fall into.
See, my De La Soul album was De La Soul is Dead.
I like De La Soul is Dead better, too.
Like,
I remember this video on Yo MTV Raps.
It was in black and white.
It's so funny. It's like, I was a, metalhead, punk rock, hardcore, that stuff. But De La Soul cut through all that noise. Like, they were one rap band that I loved. I just listened to them. I mean, it's like they didn't sound like anything.
Have you ever listened to the first Handsome Boy Modeling School album?
No, I've not. But if it involves these guys, then I'll probably like it.
Dave from De La Soul is on some of the songs. So is the Funky Homo Sapien. But Stan the Automator and Prince Paul. Prince Paul, who did the first two De La Soul albums.
Isn't one of them also in Gorillaz? Dan the Automator, I believe?
He might help. Yeah. Danny Automator, yes. He does stuff with the Gorillaz.
He's part of that as well.
He did a lot of stuff with Cool Keith, the doctor. What was it? Doctor, I forget
Oz?
The name of it. Yes. Dr. Gosnofong.
They both climbed through a giant colon together?
I see.
Yes. Dr. Oz covering himself in chlorine.
And feces. So there is a story that just came out. This is I'd never heard this before. Maybe it was because it was on Terrell Owens' podcast, because everyone has a podcast now. Is it as good as the T-Ocho show? When it was Terrell Owens and Ocho Cinco, we used to just examine that thing like
that was once a week.
That was fantastic.
That was great.
It was great. It was like, and what was awesome was after like 2 weeks, they said, "Well, they're incompetent at doing anything entertaining, so let's throw in this dude from Entertainment Tonight." And remember, they brought like, what's his name? Kevin something?
Yes.
And like him in there to like set them up. And even when he was setting them up, they were just like failing miserably.
Oh, yeah. They were all over the place.
Oh, it was great. It was just a disaster that they continued to air. But on Terrell Owens' podcast, he sat down with Kendrick Bourne and told this story. And this is something that if anybody knew this about Bill Belichick, we've never had any ex-players come on and tell us that he did this. We've never had any current players come on and tell us that he did this. This is Kendrick Bourne talking about a way that Bill would make sure that they were hydrated.
What are you doing different now with the Patriots that you weren't doing with the San Francisco 49ers?
Yeah, so I was just actually talking a funny story.
tell it.
So about hydration, about being hydrated, man. Really take care of your body, you know, like it's now, one of the key factors.
Now, who gave you the advice?
So Bill Belichick, man, 100%. Bill Belichick changed my life. He is the best coach in the world. Shout out to you, Bill Belichick.
Really?
He is the best coach in the world.
I mean,
he taught me really how to hydrate. Sat me out of practice, man, because I failed the hydration testing.
Wait,
like, man,
So y'all have to take a pee test, not a drug pee test. This is a pee test to see if your pee is clear, how hydrated
you are. Because darker it is. You know, this is how they work. So I'm like, okay, I got to figure this out. And I kind of just found the routine. So I wasn't hydrating in San Francisco at all. Just sit me out, stuff like that. I'm like, what about this? Like, he ain't playing with me. You know what I'm saying? I told him, I want to practice, though. I just learned how to, you know, drink water in the morning, drinking it all through, like, until practice. And I just found myself getting better. Like,
so the Patriots make the players pee in a cup. And then they look at the color of it to make sure that they're hydrated enough.
He might be exaggerating this. This is not uncommon. I believe the coach of Oklahoma State basketball has a sign above the urinals with a color grid of what your pee is supposed to look like.
No really? Kidding.
Yes,
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, this is not uncommon. This is something that has been done in a lot of different sports and a lot of different programs. Is that they want your pee to be the color of a clean mountain stream.
Now, I have heard people encouraging you to, you know, drink a lot of water and maybe even a chart in there. But the way it sounded like there, and maybe I'm mishearing things, but it sure does sound to me like they actually have them pee into something and take a look at it to make sure that they're hydrating correctly. Did I mishear that or is
no
that,
no
that
no sound, that, that sounds
that,
like
that's
it
what he says
about.
That might be a bit of an exaggeration but coaches A lot of coaches in a lot of sports are obsessed with the color of the guy's pee.
Oh, that's amazing.
And some people in the film arena.
Yes, thank you, DA. I appreciate you showing up. But
The whole turtle DA thing threw me for a loop earlier. I got
it was a nice turtle.
So I wouldn't even eat any vitamins then, because if you take like I there's like one vitamin that I take, and it's like the Super B complex. Like I take that. It's good. It makes me feel better. It's like, you know, for energy and stuff like that. But when I take that, like every morning. Like, it's bright yellow.
Well, what you would have to do is you would take, because these guys all take supplements, what you would have to do is you would have to overcome that by drinking lots and lots of water. But you have to be careful if you look at stories, and not just the people that did the radio bit that got them all arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But I read a story. Someone was, like, on Twitter, like, bragging that they were going to try to start drinking, like, some ridiculous amount of water a day. And this dude was like, dude, I did that and my organs shut down, because what happens is it cleans your body of all electrolytes and vitamins, and like your kidneys shut down and like things start not working. So while it is good to drink lots and lots of water, there is a limit to it. You can get very sick. You can die.
Well, here's something I didn't even think about. One of our listeners just said they use the hydration urine test for college wrestling to make sure you're not cutting weight simply by losing water weight. Because that was in high school, you'd see the kids running around the neighborhood in trash bags because, Vision Quest. Because basically that was just
that's right. I mean, Matthew Modine running across the bridge.
I told you guys, they let dudes on the wrestling team dip in class when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And that was to get all the spit out?
It's ridiculous. There's no way
it
worked. But it was to make weight. It was to get all the spit out of your body.
That's awesome that they let him dip.
Like, yeah, they just didn't say anything. Like, my friend Mark would just dip in class because he's a little guy.
Oh, wow. So somebody just sent me the Longhorn football hydration chart.
I saw this. Take a look at this, Fred.
And so at the bottom, brown, it says you're a bad guy. And then if it's like green and kind of, you know, darker yellow, it says blatant disregard for teammates. You are headed to Area 51, whatever that is. A solid yellow, it says selfish teammate. And then it's got light yellow, very light yellow and clear, and it says championship hydration levels.
I told you. Wow. I think Oklahoma State basketball does it too. I have heard of this.
That's... Be in this cup and stand over there till we take a good look at the color.
Okay. A lot of pressure on these coaches to win, John.
Do you think that Tom Brady's full of crap when he says he drinks 2 gallons of water? No, it's more than that. How much is the TB12 method? It's like a ridiculous amount.
Do the electrolytes mess with the color of the pee?
No, his water has electrolytes in it. So his water...
Oh, he drinks 14 to 37 glasses of water per day.
But it's not like regular water.
He's got TB12. These electrolytes in it.
Thereby, your organs don't shut down.
150 ounces per day of water. But, that just sounds too many.
But again, remember that this is his TB12, and I'm not joking, but it's his TB12 water, which contains electrolytes. Because I almost feel responsible to say this. I'm not joking around. If you drink too much water, it can kill you.
He says in his book, because I actually have the clip, because I remember what we thought was so ridiculous. He says that he drinks 2.3 gallons of water. Now, he doesn't mention the electrolytes. He does mention at some point you could put him in there. But when he's specifically talking about how much water he drinks, he says 2.3 gallons of water every day. I don't think I could physically drink that much.
You don't want to. All I know is, and we could have doctors call in, you don't want to start screwing around with seeing how much water you can drink a day. It will make your organs shut down. And I guess I'll say it. I mean, Rich knows the story. There's a show, I think, in Vegas that did a Wii for Wii.
Hold your pee for Wii. Yeah. For Wii. It was when the Nintendo Wii was a big thing.
And then they had them, like, drink water, though, like, you know, to speed things up. And someone ended up dying.
Yeah, that sounds awful.
Yeah, it was a woman that died. And so they got in a bit of hot water for that one, if you can imagine. This extreme water drinking can be very dangerous.
But that Kendrick Bourne thing's pretty funny. Like, I didn't realize that. I mean, they already got, according to you know, some of the people we've spoken with, when they have to do the drug test, there's a guy who already stands there and takes a look and makes sure it's their real wiener they're peeing out of.
That's right.
Well, I've been through the fake one.
I've been through that. I've had people watch me pee to make sure it was my real urine.
But now they got somebody who's checking the urine samples, not for drugs, but just to make sure that it's clear and you're drinking enough.
That's what
he said. Whether he is saying that maybe that happened once, I don't know. But I wouldn't mind talking to a current, you know, current player on the team.
I don't know if that happened.
He said it. Once again, I don't. Maybe not, but he said it.
Okay. I know, again, I know that coaches are very concerned about the amount of hydration that these guys have, as opposed to even as early as 30 years ago, when for some reason you were deprived water at practices. They encouraged you not to drink water.
Remember the Titans. Water makes you weak.
Yes.
What do you think, T.O. Cho?
Man, come on, man. Come on. Come on, man.
Well said.
Thank you, Trello.
David Pastrnak.
Oh, God.
Word on the street is that Europe is a wonderful caller. Do you have anything to say to that?
He will in about 10 seconds.
I understand. He's got to think about it. I'll repeat the compliment. David Pastrnak, I have heard that despite all you do.
I'll trigger it.
All you do, that your pee is a very wonderful color.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Now, what do you attribute to that? What do you eat? Oh. What do you attribute to that? What do you eat that you attribute to that?
Monopoly.
What is the best thing?
He eats, of course.
Pasta.
All right, thank you. There you go. You eat enough pasta.
Good job, Rich.
Apparently, I have to stop eating the pasta in order to lose this weight.
Oh, pasta.
Yeah, pasta is the first thing you got to cut out. You got to get rid of all the carbs, man.
Pasta.
I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that
pasta
at all.
Bolognese.
Pasta meat sauce for lunch and pasta.
All right. Rich, we have the old Stackarooski coming up. What are we going to talk about?
Who is the most hated person in the NFL? And remember when Jonas Gray tried to tell jokes on stage? What ex-Celtic is trying his hand at a comedy routine?
Please say Glenn Davis.
With a
please
grand tour please of the Glenn Ha Davis. Ha Huts all throughout New England.
Please say Glenn
this
Davis.
This is a tour he is going on all throughout New England.
I'd be very disappointed if it's not Glenn Davis.
Just tell me the age range.
He's probably 40.
No, it's not Glenn Davis.
No, then he's probably about 45.
Damn. What a good time to pick up stand-up is at 45. Because then you're really gonna hit the you're gonna master that craft. To become a really good stand-up for 99.9% of stand-ups.
15-20 years, you got to craft it.
Yep, yeah. Yes. You might as well pop it in. It's 45.
Actually, I'm sorry. For some reason, I said 40. He's 36.
I have a chance. I'm right then. Awesome. All right.
Because
can't wait to find out.
Did you ever watch the Norm Macdonald talk show?
Yeah, of course.
So say you're David Spade and you're sitting there and you're like, hey, David, you're looking good, right? And then you say, like, oh, thanks, Norm. And I go, John Lovett just started doing stand-up at 60. You just say it out of the blue. It's going to be great. He's doing stand-up.
This should be good. Now, if it's a wrestler, you immediately got a fan base. You can go to the Kowloon Comedy Place.
Yeah, you best laugh, or you know what's going to happen.
You're going to get the people's elbow.
You need the backbreaker. The backbreaker, you'll never walk again. He's going to break your back. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right, Rich, what's going on?
All right, to answer The question, John, to you, which ex-Celtic?
Please say Glenn Davis. It has to be Glenn Davis, so I'm going to be massively disappointed.
Is heading on the road in order to try his hand at comedy all over the New England area. That would be Glenn Big Baby Davis.
I'm there. Where? Where and when?
Well, I'll give you several choices.
Oh.
It's the Life After Basketball Comedy Tour. I hope this isn't
is
what
he playing
thinks.
Knicks Comedy Stop? Where am I going?
Well,
Prince of Pizza?
March 20th. Well, that would be great if he was playing over there with, you know, Lenny Clark. The Big Baby Glenn Davis's comedy tour starts at the Comedy Attic in Worcester on March 25th and 26th. Two nights he's doing there. Or you could go to, I didn't even know this was a place, the Comedy Scene in Foxborough?
No
on
idea.
April 1st? Is that a place?
I gotta look that up.
Is that the CBS Scene? But that night it's the wacky haha scene? Is that what
CBS Scene doesn't exist. It's like the CBS Sporting Club.
Yeah, it's whatever. A sporting club.
They took down the pictures of Lucille Ball and...
Yeah, I won't go back.
No, it's the Honeymooners.
It's at Gillette Stadium. I think it's probably. I'm looking at.
Well, I mean, you gotta have 40,000 people. Yeah, to see that
no, show. Rich, what you don't get it is Gillette Stadium.
That's what I'm saying you gotta fill that place.
At Gillette Stadium. Yeah.
It's Showcase Live.
Oh, it's the old Showcase Live.
All right, pretty big venue.
Yeah.
Always a really good idea when you're new at stand up to just start headlining your own shows. You know, really work out the kinks in front of people.
I gotta go to this.
What maniac doesn't like spend a year and a half, 2 years, like doing open mic nights, and you know, failing?
Okay.
Like Chris Rock will work the Comedy Store and like try stuff that doesn't work, and then he builds his act.
How much would you pay for tickets to go see Glenn Big Baby Davis?
Zero. I don't need to see.
How much do you think he's charging? That's a better question.
$10
higher.
Oh boy,
$11.50.
Looking at it here.
How much?
$35.
No, he's not
for general admission tickets.
No, he's not.
$50 for general admission and a meet and greet.
He's charging $35.
That's what it says here.
To not even meet him? I mean, you're going to meet him if you go because he's going to be the only one there. That's not fair. I'm sure Glenn is great. Matter of fact, I would like Big Baby Glenn Davis, his representatives, I'm sure you're listening. I want him on the show. He's going to obviously want to promote his comedy.
I
would love to talk to Big Baby.
Well, he's just got
to
do his act.
He's got to do his act. If you can't make it to that show, he is playing in Beverly, Massachusetts at the Off Cabot Comedy and Events, I guess, center. It just says Off Cabot Comedy and Events.
Before this tour, how many times do you think he's done stand-up?
This is it.
Yep. And that
is... His friends think he's funny.
Not a good idea. Stand-up comedy might be the hardest art form in the world. And to master and to pace and to do all of it.
Maybe I'm wrong. One of our listeners just said, dude, I was playing a gig in Plymouth last week, and he was actually across the street doing a 10 p.m. show at a local bar. Super weird. Maybe he's going to come out and just, like, assault the crowd. He's going to be amazing.
No. I can guarantee you that's not going to happen.
He's been in the trenches, Fred.
You made my day, Rich.
I have to see this. I got to go.
Sketch comedy, maybe. Radio, maybe. You're not getting up there and doing 20 minutes of stand-up without having put in your work.
And finally, on April 15th, this is a pretty decent-sized venue, Laugh Boston.
Yes.
He's going to be there, right, just right over at the Seaport.
And God bless anyone who has to follow him.
All right. We have friends who do PR for Laugh Boston. If you're listening... I want Glenn Baby. I would love him on the show. I mean, he's
in
obviously
studio. Bring him in
for a month. He's obviously hanging around the area.
Right. Bring him in here, not on the phone.
Somebody said it'd be great if he had Dwight Howard to open for him. No, I want. Listen, he's going to want to promote the show.
Yeah, let's make
and who
happen.
Knows? Maybe he will prove all of us wrong, and
no.
he'll come on the show,
no.
and he'll be.
No, he won't. It's too hard. It's too hard.
You remember the time?
Even if your jokes rule, it takes like 2 years to get to know how to tell them. I mean, all right, whatever.
Somebody said the Comedy Attic is a tiny restaurant in Worcester that probably fits like 75 max. Well, that makes sense.
I don't care. He should be doing open mic nights for 2 years before he puts his name on something.
Does he need an opener? Can we have like Nick go out and open it so you get the better crowd reaction?
Reading Rick Riley's story or just having Nick do his thing?
What if just Nick what if Bird writes jokes and we had Bird open for Big Baby Glenn Davis and just do this experiment of who gets the bigger laugh?
We were going to do something like that before vacation or something kicked in. We had some idea like that.
That might be kind of funny. I mean, listen, they're going to all these places, including Laugh Boston, who are run by very good people. I bet that they're going to want to do anything to try to get, you know, people to show up
and not walk out. Good luck.
Yeah,
it's no slight on Davis, but it's just it's really really hard to do stand up comedy.
Does Kim still do PR for them, Mike? Kim Ring, is she still? I thought she did for a while, but we got to get him on. He's got to come in studio. We got to get him in studio. We're gonna make this huge.
Well, let's just give him a handheld mic and just go do your act. And just sit here and stare at him while he does his act. And then maybe just to prepare him, I'll leave the studio while he's doing it.
$35.
I'm funny. I'll just set up a bunch of shows where I headline. I don't care if it's five people. It's too many. It's too hard.
It is tough. It is tough. If you've never done it before... It is way different than you talking to your friends.
Oh, it's way different than being on the radio. It's way different than doing improv comedy. It's way different than doing sketch comedy. It's way different than acting in a play. You could never have act before, get into a play and go like, wow, this guy's got charisma. This guy's like, can knock it out. That's never happened with a stand-up. Ever. Ever. Takes these guys, it takes like Mark Maron's the world. If you think he's funny or not, he's been doing comedy for 40 years. It takes him a year to put together his set.
Oh my God, it's $38.
I told you. Do you think I was lying?
No, I'm looking at the one here at Laugh Boston. Oh, $38. Right.
Maybe they just made it so like it's harder for people to justify walking out.
Maybe that's it. Overpriced people.
Now, do you get $38 worth of drinks?
No, you get one of his pizzas. That he used to eat in the post game. Hey, everybody, that'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.